third hour of the show. Hope you are doing well. Again, reminding everyone, I'll be hosting the Jim Rome Show tomorrow. I will have Dustin Pedroia on. Victor Cruz is coming on. We'll talk with Steve Wyche of the NFL Network. That is tomorrow as well. All at 9 a.m. right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. And I'll be in the jungle again on Friday. Very much looking forward to hosting the Jim Rome Show the next two mornings. All right, 9 to 12, so keep that in mind. All right, we are going to continue to talk NFL football with former general manager of both the Redskins and the Texans. You see him on the NFL Network. That's Charlie Casserly. And if you want to follow him on Twitter, do so at Charlie. That's L-E-Y, Charlie Casserly. And he's with us here on the Grant Napier Show. Charlie, how are you?
Oh, great. How you doing?
You know what? I'm doing well. I was watching. I've actually been watching you every day. I love the morning sessions where you guys are on site at one camp and you have live look-ins for three or four other camps. And I got to tell you, I loved your interview this morning, and I love what, you know, Justice Winston, you know, or Jameis Winston had to say, you know, about getting there early, showing the other guys that when they show up, he's already got a full sweat going and that he's already got his workout in. I like to hear that from that young quarterback. Give me your thoughts.
Oh, absolutely. That was impressive. You know, he gets it. If I'm going to be the leader, it starts with my example. People aren't going to follow me if I'm not doing what I'm saying. So the best way to lead is to lead by example, and that's what he's doing.
Let's talk about some of the other teams that we've that you've gone over in the morning. I think it was yesterday you spent a lot of time on the Atlanta Falcons, and I'm looking at Matt Ryan, who, you know, was ascending to one of the top quarterbacks in the game, and in the last couple of years that team's really had trouble getting going. I know you talked a lot about this year with the second year head coach. Give me your thoughts on this Atlanta Falcons team.
Well, it was interesting. You know, we looked up some stats, and stats are, you know, you can do anything you want with them sometimes, and they are deceptive. But what was interesting about Matt Ryan, the perception is he didn't play last year, and he had some turnovers. In fact, he lost, I think, 5-6 fumbles and about 15, 16 interceptions or whatever. And part of it is he was not as comfortable in the scheme as I think he will be this year. The center snap was bad last year, so they replaced the center on the shotgun part of it. So, but the point I'm getting to on the and I'll get to answer your complete question about the Falcons is this. When they were at a point, they had a period here of a few years where they won 70% of the games. Since then, I think they've won 37% of the games. His quarterback rating is basically the same. The difference is, offensively, there's no Tony Gonzalez. There's no Roddy White in his prime anymore. Defensively, I think they were fifth in the league in defensive scoring. In other words, points allowed. I think they were in the 20s last year. So the team isn't as good around them. That's the point I'm making there. So, all right, where are they now? Well, offensively, Ed and Alex Mack was huge. It takes care of the center snap and the shotgun, a better, stouter guy against the run, with the run, and a stouter guy in pass protection. Plus, he can call the protections and the defenses from the line of scrimmage. Sanu is better than Roddy White was last year. Roddy White was, you know, at the end of his career. Sanu is a better player. He is in no way a top number one receiver. He's probably a 2 to a 3 there, but he's an upgrade. So I think that in the system for the second year, he had those two players. Watch Devon Coleman. I think they're going to do more things with him. Maybe use him at receiver some to try to get in matchup situations. So I think they'll be better there. You go to the defense. Three of their first four picks. And by the way, Austin Hooper out of Stanford, I like him as a tight end. He could be a surprise to help him. Now, Neal from Florida, strong safety, box guy. That's where they're going to play him, be a physical presence. Linebackers Jones and Campbell add a lot of speed. So I think those are things that can help them there on defensively. But Beasley is a guy, last point. Beasley has been an underachiever as a pass rusher. He needs to step up this year. I don't know if he can.
Yep.
Size, strength are questions, and he doesn't really have a counter move. So those are things we got to see.
I want to talk to you about the Dallas Cowboys. Kellen Moore is going to be out for all intents and purposes the year. They're doing a lot of talking with Nick Foles. I mean, to me, that's a no-brainer. You got a fragile quarterback based on what we've seen, you know, with Tony Romo. You know, to me, if Nick Foles is your backup quarterback, that's a huge upgrade, isn't it?
I think it's an upgrade over Kellen Moore. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you on that. Now, you know, Foles has had an up-and-down career so far, but at least he's had an up.
Okay, yeah.
I guess that's one way to look at this thing. So No, I definitely think that you've got to make that move because statistics show Romo's not going to stay healthy.
That's right.
And Foles has throwing talent. He has some movement in the pocket. He has some inconsistencies with decision making and accuracy. And you know, there's something to me missing in this guy. I don't know what it is because I'm not with him on a team where he should be better than he is. But the bottom line is he's an upgrade for you, backup quarterback.
Charlie, I want to talk to you from a general manager's perspective. I'm talking to Victor Cruz tomorrow. And, you know, it was just about 2 years ago, a little bit less. It was October, two seasons ago, you know, where he ruptured his patellar tendon and then couldn't come back last year because of the calf. And 2 years ago, he was a top-notch receiver. He was king of New York. Everyone loved Victor Cruz. And now since then, there's a guy by the name of Odell Beckham that's taken center stage. And the Giants go out and use a second-round pick and a guy that, you know, right now they think looks great out of Oklahoma and Shepard. Tell me what Victor Cruz, what do you look for from a general manager's perspective with a guy that's been out so long in Victor Cruz this training camp?
Well, I think, you know, number one, go to the medical people. Is this guy 100%? Is this what we're going to see? So before I evaluate him, I got to get that one answered. My first year scouting, I made the mistake of working a player out when he wasn't 100%. You can't get it out of your mind. All right. No matter how you try, you can't get the visual out of your mind. So I don't want to look at him and evaluate him if he's not 100%. So tell me he's 100%. Once there, then I just got to look at him as not Victor Cruz. I got to look at him as a player. And I can't think about what he was. I got to think about what he is now. And you know, can this guy get open? Can he separate? How does he compare it to Shepard? So that's the way I have to approach it.
Interesting, but if you get the green light from your medical staff that he's 100%, then the past is the past. That's what the NFL is, Charlie. You know what you did for me in the past doesn't matter anymore. You know, can you play now or can't? It really boils down to that, right?
It does, but it does. But that's life too.
Yeah,
I mean, you see it in all sports, okay? And you know whether we want to admit it or not, you have to evaluate if you're a manager of people. You know, every year, is this person the same as they were last year? Do they have the same desire? Do they say they have the age? Are they mentally as sharp? So it's in life, too. It just comes at a faster rate in sports.
Charlie Casserly, NFL Network, joining us here on the Grant Napier Show. Charlie, here in Northern California, a lot of people are finally excited about what they're seeing developing in Oakland with the Raiders. Are you also one of those that look at this team as ascending?
No question about it. I think Reggie McKenzie's done a terrific job, and I think it starts with Mark Davis, having the patience to get through those early years and understanding they didn't have cap room, they didn't have all their draft choices. They're in a groove now. They really are. They're hitting their stride. They did a good job in free agency. Key was getting Derek Carr. Making that draft pick was huge because you know now you got a quarterback that can lead you to a championship, at least in my opinion. So I think the Raiders have an excellent shot to win the division.
Yeah, I mean, look at the defense. You pick up a Bruce Irvin from Seattle. You pick up Sean Smith from Kansas City. Those are two excellent offseason pickups.
Well, they are. I mean, they're not elite players, but you're not going to get that in free agency. They're better, and they can fill roles. Irvin hopefully can fill the role as a pass rush. Smith, I thought, really played well at corner last year, probably better than I had seen him play in the past. But they're upgrades for you. That's the way I look at it.
All right, let's go to the other side of the bay. Talk to me about the challenges facing Chip Kelly with a roster that doesn't look to have the talent right now. But let's talk about what Chip Kelly's going through.
Yeah, well, I think it's number one is do we all understand, meaning the San Francisco 49ers, what we have for a football team right now? You know, they had a run there that was very impressive. Sometimes when you have that run, you subconsciously think you're still as good as you were or will be with the players you have. But to me, that's a rebuilding team. And, you know, people say whose fault it is. They lost too many players in too short of a time. I've never seen a team lose. I think they lost something almost 12 starters in over 1 year. I've never seen a team lose that many players, see. And so it's hard to come back from that. And that's what they're trying to work through right now. And it starts with the quarterback position. Do they have a quarterback? Kaepernick to me is not your answer. And Gabbert, I got myself sucked into believing that he could do it. And I say that because the guy has throwing talent. But there were some things you didn't like. Now, he looked a little bit more poised and tougher mentally in the pocket in the tape I watched from Frisco last year. So that's the number one thing I want to see. Can this guy stand in the pocket and make pressure plays with people around him? If he can do that, then he's graduated and you got a chance with him.
Charlie, the one thing I hear from every camp at this time of year at the end of practices is we had a great practice. Boy, things are going well. You've been in the football business for a long time. When you watch training camp practices, and maybe not necessarily in the first day or the second day, but throughout training camp and you're at different camps every day, can you really tell the difference in how teams practice?
Not really. I don't want to say you've seen one, you've seen them all, but there's a little bit level like
yep.
that. Now, you can see if the intensity isn't as good. But the thing you have to try to see is if you're just going from one camp to another, that's a little different than being with your team all the time.
Good point.
Because, first of all, you can only watch one player on a play. Maybe you can watch a group of players on a play. But when you're there every day. First of all, you watch the tapes. You grade every player after every practice. Then when you're out there watching, I watch sections of things. I go in there with something I wanted to see in practice live and then certain things I'd want to see on tape. And so sometimes you could get a feel for whether things were good or bad or sloppy, you know, things like that. But if you have one shot at a team, sometimes you don't really get a good feel of it.
Charlie Casserly.
You're just watching certain players is what
yeah.
you're doing.
Yeah. Again, you were at the camp of the Buccaneers. Where are you all tomorrow?
Jacksonville.
Okay. You know, that's an interesting team.
Tour, so.
I'm glad.
It is. Absolutely.
Yeah.
An exciting young team.
Yep. You know what? I was watching the other day when you guys were talking to Baldy, who was, on site there. You know, they have some really nice young receivers with a quarterback that looks like he's really getting better. It seems to me that's a team that's going in the right direction. So I'll be very interested in looking at that. But you think that's also a team. I don't want to compare them to the Raiders, but I do want to compare them to the fact that they've been really bad, and now it looks like they're heading in the right direction.
Yeah, they really are. They put together some good drafts, some key free agent signings. Big thing, too, there, you know, they hit on Bortles at quarterback.
Yep.
This guy looks like he's the real thing, and he's going to keep getting better. So a lot of young talent. I think they're a year away. Right now.
Right.
And that's where they got to be careful is don't overestimate them. I saw on our network, the guys picked them for 10-6. I said, oh my goodness. I said, I don't see a 10-6 team
no.
here. So, and you don't want somebody thinking they are, and then they don't go 10-6. And now everybody gets fired here. So you don't want to have that situation.
I was talking with the voice of the Packers last hour, Wayne Larrivee, and that's week one, Green Bay at Jacksonville. And you know this as a general manager, but the one thing early, I would hate being a team that practices in, you know, beautiful weather conditions and you have to play in Florida in week one. Because you know what, Charlie, you know this. You can get down there and it can be hot and humid. And if you're not used to that, man, that can really wear on you throughout the game.
Well, it possibly. I've seen it go both ways. I've seen us come into an environment like that and win when I was in Houston and when I was in Washington. And because you're not worn out yourselves from being in the heat, you're actually fresher and you
right.
just have to survive one day. So it can work both ways, but it can affect the team. I've seen that too.
Before I let you go, we're talking with Charlie Casserly, NFL Network. And again, I got to tell you, I get up in the morning and I turn you guys on, and I love the fact that you have so many cut-ins from other camps. You know, the last couple of days I've gotten updates from, you know, the Patriots, you know, from the Giants, yesterday from the Falcons, the Jaguars, today the Bucks. I love that. Are you on the road pretty much every day until you hit most of the teams? I mean, that's a crazy schedule.
No, what we do is we've got, I think it's 15 days of this type of coverage, and I probably go about 60-40, 60 television and 40 visiting camps.
Gotcha. It's good stuff, Charlie.
Okay.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you very much. Keep up the good work, and thanks for coming on the show.
All right, no problem. Great to be with you now.
All right, thank you. Charlie Casserly, NFL Network. If you want to call the show, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. We're with you for another hour and change. We're going to be talking some Raiders football at 6 o'clock with Jimmy Durkin. He's the beat writer for the Bay Area News Group. So we got a lot of football talk. For those of you that are just getting off work or getting out of class or are just joining me, I want to get your take on this because I was – really strong about this in the first hour, and we got a lot of feedback, all right? The team, the men's and women's basketball teams for Team USA are staying in a luxury cruise ship, and it has 250 armed security forces both on the ground and in the bay. Their sole responsibility is to make sure that there's safety on that cruise ship. All right? All the other athletes that are playing in the Olympic Games, to the best of my knowledge, are all housed at the Olympic Village. Team USA in the past has never, but they don't stay at the Olympic Village. They normally stay at hotels. Now, I also said in the first hour that this is not a player's decision. This is, you know, the management, whether it's Jerry Colangelo or the coaches, I don't know, okay? The cost of staying on this luxury cruise ship comes to about $13,000 a week per person, all right? It's being privately funded by a company. The cost of the security of 250 around-the-clock armed forces, so to speak, can't be cheap. I don't know what the cost of that is. I said in 3 o'clock, I think it's a bad look. I think it's a bad look. I don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill here because, you know what, they're not going to stay at the Olympic Village for whatever reason. All right, that's fine. Can you not stay at a hotel? Can you not stay at a hotel? Does it not look bad and gaudy and everything else that everyone else is staying in the Olympic Village, and except for our basketball players, both men and women, that are staying on a luxury cruise ship at $13,000 a week per person that has 250 armed guards on land and in the water? I mean, come on now. We're talking about the Olympics here, are we not? I just think that is a really bad look. That's all I said it earlier, and I'm going to say it again. I think that is a bad look for the United States. I mean, you want to talk about gaudy. You want to talk about over the top. You know, when everyone else is staying in the where all the athletes stay, and you're out on a luxury cruise ship, can you not stay in a hotel in Rio if you don't want to stay in the Olympic Village? I mean, is it that hard to stay in a five-star hotel where you don't need 250 armed guards everywhere? You would still need security, but not to that magnitude. You wouldn't need police boats with, you know, guns and everything on. I mean, that's just, I don't get that. I just think it looks bad. But I wanted to get your take. Joe in Sacramento, how are you?
You doing great.
Joe, what's up?
Nothing, man. You know, I agree with probably the look of being on a luxury boat is probably not kind of the right kind of way to, as far as projecting like the United States versus other countries when everyone else is in the Olympic Village. But what I will say is that, you know, I don't think yourself or me have any kind of, I don't have a security sort of background. I don't know why there's 250 people or whatever the report is, or maybe that's even a false report to give people the impression that there are more people guarding the boat. But what I can tell you is that I guarantee you that the Olympic Village is probably equally, if not more, secure. And I went to the 96 Olympics in Atlanta, and I happened to be at a concert just about half a block from where that Richard Jewell bomb went off. But I'll tell you that even though it was kind of a whatever car bomb hoax, that kind of thing, you know, you can agree with me that the Olympics is a big target for
no question
terrorism. And it's kind of like, okay, the guys are on the boat, there's gambling, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on, but it's like, you know, they need to protect the boat if the athletes.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not saying that there shouldn't be security. I mean, I would never go on the air and say that, but it just seemed to me you could reduce a lot of that if you just stay in a luxury hotel like they've done in the past. I just, you know, if you're in a luxury hotel, no one's talking about it. No one's looking at it. Nobody's even mentioning it. Now it's all over the media. And I don't know. It looks gaudy to me. It looks too over the top to me. I just, you know, to me.
You've traveled internationally. I have as well.
Yeah.
I've stayed at some, you know, decent hotels in these bigger countries that are pretty safe. But I know, I agree. The look is a little extravagant. I don't know who's fronting it or whatever, but like I said, that sometimes there might be some false information that they want people to think that there's that many security around the boat.
And well, they showed pictures today of the police boats out in the harbor guarding the ship and everything. So, you know, maybe not. I don't know. But I would think the security, as you just pointed out, like it would be at the Olympic Village, would be very significant.
I know you hate the fact they're on that big boat having a good time, though.
I would love to be on the boat too, wouldn't you? Right? I mean, I'm not going to lie. Who would not want to be on a luxury? Who would not want to be on a luxury cruise liner, for crying out loud? Yeah, and by the way, the players Hey, listen, Joe. I think we need to point this out for those of you that may have just the players don't decide this.
Yeah.
By the way, the ship now I've just read is surrounded by a bulletproof glass fence and 250 federal police officers. That's from two different reports. The ship is surrounded by a bulletproof glass fence and 250 federal police officers. How about that?
That's great. So that if any terrorists come by, they can kill them.
I have no comment. I don't even know how to respond to that. Other than, please, we'll be right back. We are going to get to some phone calls in this segment. If you want to get in on the program, 339-1140. 800-920-1140, Dave in Sacramento. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Grant. How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. So I have a perspective on this, and for me it's personal because my son will be playing as a water polo player in the Olympics. So in my view is when you're in Brazil, there's not only do you have all the terrorism risk, but you also have risk of people kidnapping for ransom. And, you know, my son, no one's going to kidnap a water polo player for ransom, right? They're going to get, you know, if they don't get beat up, they'll get, you know, the $10,000 he has in his bank account. Whereas for somebody like Cousins, right, he would be at risk for being kidnapped because he's worth a lot of money.
Well, there would be you know how many athletes that are in the Olympic Games could fall under that standard? Do you think that only the United States men's basketball team are worth a lot of money? There are athletes from all over the world, okay, that are very prominent in their country that are worth a lot and have a lot that would be just as susceptible to that scenario as you're stating. I mean, come on now.
Sure, but a lot of them are staying in equally secure places.
Yes, they are. They are, so. And it's not costing $13,000 a week per athlete, and they don't have an extra 250 armed federal security guards, both on land and in the water, and you know, on and on. Now, in all fairness, the United States is not paying for that; it's being privately funded. I just think it's a bad look. That's all. I just think it's a bad look. Why can't they stay in a nice hotel?
I don't have a problem with it, and my son's going to be in the Olympic Village, so it doesn't bother me.
Well, I guarantee you, your son's going to have a lot more fun than they're going to have on the ship. Thank you very much. Jim in Sacramento, how are you? Hello, Jim.
Hey, Grant. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
So, I put the caller that was right in front of me. I think if it looks bad on anybody, it looks bad on the host country and the Olympic Committee for allowing it to be there. You know, there are plenty of cities all over the world that they would absolutely stay in a hotel, but I think it looked mostly bad on the Olympic Committee and the host country for athletes of this caliber that don't feel safe and feel like they need to have that. I don't think it's a bad idea at all, and honestly, I'm surprised there aren't more stories about more athletes doing it. There are so many golfers that aren't going at all.
Well, I don't blame the golfers for not going. They just had two majors in a span of 2 weeks, and the reality is most of the world doesn't care about Olympic golf because they haven't had Olympic golf. So I don't have an issue with a lot of the golfers not going. I think it's going to be a very poorly rated event on NBC. Who's going to watch Olympic golf? There's no interest in it.
Well, definitely not without the superstars out there.
Even with the superstars. Who the hell is going to watch Olympic golf? We just had the British Open and the PGA within a span of 2 weeks. Very few people are going to watch Olympic golf.
There's a lot of golf fans out there. There's a golf channel. I think a lot of people would have watched it, especially if, coming down to the end, there was drama happening. I think they would have absolutely watched it.
All right. Well, I will tell you, I think the TV ratings for golf are going to be awful, but I may be wrong. You know, they may be better than I thought. Thank you, Jim. Have a great rest of the evening.
All right. You too, Grant.
All right. Take care. Paul in Sacramento. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Grant. How's it going?
I'm good, Paul.
Good. Yeah, you know, a couple of callers ago, the guy kind of stole my fire. I was going to make the same point that I think what's really behind the fact that these NBA players and WNBA players are staying, you know, in this, you know, big yacht or whatever that's secured by 250 armed security guards and, you know, the bulletproof wall and all that. I think it's based on the fact that, you know, they make so much money and they're worth so much to the NBA owners, and they're worth so much in regards to the amount of money that they bring into the league for the NBA that I feel personally, I don't know this for a fact, I feel personally that the NBA made these precautions. They made sure that nothing was going to happen because of everything that they heard. I don't know if you heard about this, but I think it was like July 2nd, something like that. One of the Formula One executives, I think his mother-in-law was kidnapped.
Yeah, I did see that. Yep.
Did you hear about that one?
I've heard about a lot of kidnappings in that region of the world. Absolutely. It's very common.
Yeah, so I think that's the main reason, you know, is because these guys have so much money and they know that, you know, the terrorists or the kidnappers or whoever, they know that these NBA players are coming from a country where the sport that they represent makes so much money, you know, and it's American currency and it's,
Well, just so you know, the one thing you're not aware of is because you live in the United States, you're only thinking about the United States. The United States is only one country out of many, many that are participating in the Summer Games. And the reality is that there are many athletes representing other countries all over the world that have tons of money, just like our NBA players do. All right, you may not be aware of that, but there are very wealthy athletes competing in other countries that are household names in their countries,
right,
that are well-known all over the world that aren't staying on a luxury cruise ship with 250 federal armed guards around it. I'm just pointing that out.
Right. And I think I agree with that, you know, now I am aware of that, but I think the NBA ownership or whoever this private company that's
running, it's Cisco.
Okay, Cisco. So I think they made an emphasis on making this as safe as possible. I mean, this
yes,
is
there's
extreme.
No question.
It makes us look gaudy and you know, braggadocious, but in an unfortunate way, that's kind of the way the United States operates. And I think that's what's really going on. That's what's behind this. Like you said earlier, I don't think it's about the players. I think it's about, you know, the league taking care of their assets, and that's the bottom line.
See, I don't think the league has anything to do with this. I really don't. I mean,
But wouldn't they step in?
I don't know. I mean, why? You know what? Is the league really going to step in? And the league would want any of their personnel to be safeguarded. There's no question about that. I think, yes, they would want everyone, not just players, but, you know, anyone that's traveling with Team USA to be 100% safe, whether you are a player or whether you're a trainer or whether you're, you know, somebody that's a traveling secretary or whatever the case may be. Yes.
Right.
I mean, I think that security.
So it's not coaches and so forth. It's just. The
No.
Thing.
No, the coaches are staying there, too.
Yeah. So that's what I think. You know, it's about the league, you know, saying, you know, we have enough money to protect our players to the fullest. And that's what's going on. That's what I think. But,
all right. Thank you.
I don't agree with it, but, you know, I think that's just, you know, in this day and age is kind of expected. Not too surprising to me.
Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Man.
All right. Bye-bye now. We're with you right up till 6:30. Don't forget, coming up at 6, Jimmy Durkin, Raiders beat writer for the Bay Area News Group. We'll check in with him on what's going on through the first several practices at Napa with the Oakland Raiders. With that said, we'll take the time out. We will return right here on Sports 1140. KHTK. Hard to believe that we are already in August, and yeah, the living is easy, and so is the driving in a new Lexus from Lexus of Roseville. I want to spend a moment and talk to you about their full lineup of phenomenal, phenomenal vehicles and the legendary Lexus comfort amenities. How about driving a new IS, ES, GS, or LS sedan? And trust me, you'll see exactly what I mean. You want exhilaration? You'll want something that's just a wow. Put yourself behind the wheel of the new RC and RCF. It is a phenomenal, phenomenal vehicle. And, you know, Lexus didn't forget about passengers. If you seek a more traditional SUV configuration, the NX, RX, GX, and LX series of vehicles are a must-see consideration. And don't forget to check out their certified pre-owned and previously owned inventory, where even greater deals can be found. Here's the bottom line. Get down and see my trusted hometown dealer, Lexus of Roseville, in the Roseville Auto Mall, and pursue perfection in driving a new Lexus today at Lexus of Roseville, in the Roseville Auto Mall. Hear Roseville, think Lexus. And anyway, we are a little more than 48 hours away from the opening ceremonies at the Olympics. And hey, listen, you don't have to convince me on security. We all want to be secure. I mean, it's the most important thing when we're traveling. It's the most important thing. You know, we all want to feel safe. We all want to feel secure. I'm right with that. And the security at the Olympic Games should be first and foremost. That should be paramount, not just for the athletes, but for everyone. So I think we're all in agreement with that. We want to feel secure. And, you know, I've talked with a couple of people that are already down in Rio, and they've told me they feel very safe. And they've walked around, and, you know, they feel that they feel very safe. But, you know, the city is going to be congested big time beginning this weekend. And it is a huge undertaking to protect everyone. But again, based on the people that I've talked to that are down there already in the media, they've told me they feel very safe, and they've actually, you know, had a good couple of days. But to me, it's just a little extreme what's going on with the basketball teams. And again, I understand it's not the players. I mean, the players have no say in this, or little say. I mean, they're not in charge of their, you know, travel plans. They're not in charge of where they're staying. That's not what they do. They want to feel like all the other athletes. They want to feel safe. They want to feel secure. And I understand that. But, I don't even know if some of the athletes wish they were staying on the mainland. It would be easier to get around. I mean, I'm sure that the Olympians on Team USA are not going to practice and play the game and spend every waking moment on the ship. So it is a huge, huge process with the security. Mike in Sacramento. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Grant. Hey, I got a comment for you on this, but I wanted to clarify first. Did you say that it was only the men's and women's basketball teams that were playing on this or staying on the cruise ship?
That is accurate.
Yeah, that does seem a little weird to me. I would actually have less of an issue if it was all of the United States athletes staying on the ship.
But there's not enough room on this ship. It's a small luxury cruise line, and there wouldn't be enough space to house all of the Olympic athletes. Now, if you wanted to bring in another cruise ship, such as, you know, a mega ship, then yes, easily you'd be able to accommodate all of the athletes on that ship.
Right. I mean, while it does look a little bit like we'd be, I don't know, flaunting our money that we have, you know, with the conditions that I've heard about down there, I wouldn't blame them at all for doing that. The fact that it's only the basketball team seems a little weird to me, but it makes me think, there's got to be a reason that they chose only the basketball teams, while other athletes, or, you know, United States athletes, are like, hey, why aren't I staying on the ship? I wonder if they have, think they have some sort of information, some sort of threat.
No, it's not a threat. It's not information. The men's basketball team has stayed in hotels in recent Olympic games. They haven't stayed in the Olympic Village. So this is not out of character not to stay in the Olympic Village, but they've always stayed in hotels. My question is, you know, why couldn't they stay in a hotel this time? I just think this is a bad look. I think it's very gaudy, and I think it's kind of like, hey, you know what? I play, you know, for, you know, Team USA, and I am a professional basketball player, and you have to stay in that little village, and I get to stay on a luxury cruise line. I just think it's a bad look for the Olympics. I mean, I get back to what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with the Olympic Games, okay? If you really want to talk about the true spirit of the competition and the essence of the Olympics, I think it goes against everything that the Olympics is about, and it's just, to me, a bad look. That's it. Maybe I'm old-fashioned. Maybe I'm in the minority here, but that's just how I feel. And I don't have a problem with people calling up and disagreeing with me. You're certainly entitled to your opinion, and I'm not saying your opinion is wrong or right when people call in. I just, to me, it doesn't sit well with me.
No, I think I actually agree with you on this one. It is a bad look. if it was strictly about a player safety thing, which I'm sure it is, but that all the athletes were on there, I don't think I'd have any problem at all with the bad look. It's funny, with this Olympics in particular, it's the least of the bad looks that there are on these Olympic Games right now, in my opinion. I think that the status, the condition that Brazil is in regarding the Olympic Games, the villages, the water, the garbage everywhere, the other things, you know, you talked about this earlier this week. I think that those things are far more embarrassing for the Olympics on a whole. But yeah, this doesn't look good either.
You know, as I said, I've had some conversations with some people in the last 48 hours that are down in Rio working for NBC and other outlets down there, and that's not what they've shared with me. I mean, they said the ride from the airport was a little eye-opening, going through some of the slums and et cetera, but they've been out and about, and they have said they felt very safe, and they really haven't talked to me about some of the issues that you have, you know, brought up to me. Now, I'm well aware of the issues in Rio just based on reading all of the accounts and watching, you know, the news, but, you know, may not be as bad as it's being portrayed.
I hope that's the case. There were some things I read about the water conditions down there.
Yeah, the water is horrible. It's for the water sports, the marathon, the boat racing, the rowing, very bad, absolutely.
Well, I'm glad to hear that maybe there's a brighter side to it, because, like I said, some of the things I had heard were pretty bad. But, I mean, overall, I do agree with you. It's a bad look. I wish that they could have done it for all the United States athletes.
Well, if you're going to do it for all the United States athletes, first of all, a lot of the United States athletes want to stay in the Olympic Village. It's the essence of the Olympics. And I've talked to many former Olympic athletes, and they said that one of the highlights of being in the Olympics was being with, you know, fellow athletes from other countries, and that was a true – that was one of the best – you know, because very few athletes win medals, all right?
Sure.
So, I mean, the experience that athletes have getting to meet athletes of other countries has always been the highlight for a lot of these athletes. And so I think if you took a poll of athletes from all over the world, I think the majority of them would say they want to stay in the Olympic Village.
That's a good point. I hadn't considered that.
I've talked to many athletes, and they've said that, you know, getting to meet athletes that they've looked at or competed against from other countries or other sports has been a real big thrill in staying in the Olympic Village.
Cool. Well, you know what, Grant? I'm glad I called, and you gave me some other things too.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. That. I was on a flight from L.A. to Sacramento when several members of the women's gold medal winning team from the Sydney Olympics, they actually had their gold medals around the neck when they got on our plane. And I talked to them on the entire flight about the experience. And I remember vividly them telling me that being in the Olympic Village was just a phenomenal experience. You know, in addition to winning a gold medal, meeting so many people from around the world in other sports. And they said being in the Olympic Village was really something that they would take with them forever, that it was that great of an experience.
Yeah, I imagine that's something you'd hold on to forever.
Yeah, absolutely.
A hell of an experience.
Yep.
All right, Grant. Hey, I enjoy the show, man. Thank you.
All right, thanks for listening, Mike. Really appreciate it. All right, if you want to call 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. I can honestly say that if I were an athlete, I would want to stay in the Olympic Village, and I really mean that in all sincerity. I would love to stay in the Olympic Village. I think that would be the ultimate experience, you know, to be with your fellow competitors from around the world. I would love that. I think it would be great. And I think that's, again, we get back to the true essence of what the Olympics are supposed to be about, but they're not, but they're supposed to be about. And unfortunately, I don't think the Olympics are supposed to be about, you know, one team having a mega beautiful luxury liner with a bulletproof shield around it and 250, you know, security members both on the ground and around the boat. I don't think that's what the Olympics is about. Now, I'm all for security, and I get that. I mean, there's tons of security around the Olympic Village and around the Olympic venues and around the media compounds, and that's the way it should be, and around the airport, and that's the way it should be. But I just, again, I think it's a little extreme. And again, I may be old-fashioned. I may be, and I'm 100% aware that the players don't make these decisions. This is not in any way, shape, or form directed at the athletes. You know, I can tell you that Kevin Durant was not, you know, asked about where he wants to stay in Rio. You know, that's not what they do. You know, DeMarcus Cousins was not consulted on, you know, where do you want to stay when we get down to Rio. That all they want is to be safe and enjoy the Olympic experience. I think that's that would be true of, you know, safety's first in everything you do. And I mean, based on the reports that I'm reading and the people I've talked down, talked to, there's security everywhere. It's iron tight down there. Absolutely. All right, we'll be right back. We'll talk some Raiders football next here on the Grant Napier Show.